about you? I think our gospel text from John this morning is just about the most encouraging text in all of Scripture. I mean, think about it. Jesus appears in the evening to those who are in the dark. He repeats the phrase, "Peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you," three times to those who are cowering in fear behind shut doors. And he agrees to the wants, the demands of a doubting disciple who had just recently declared that he would not believe in any account of the resurrection unless he encounters visible evidence. That's like the gospel written just for me, just for you. Instead of being shunned for one's doubts, instead of being admonished for being afraid, Jesus instead forgives people for their cowardice, for their unbelief, and even goes a step further by blessing them with the gift of the Holy Spirit. My friends, truly light has come into this world. It has shimmered into our very lives to magnify just who we are as God's own. But more, this light has pointed us towards who we need to become as Christ's own, so endowed with the fruits of this Holy Spirit. What is that what we want? Do we really want this gift, this light in our lives? Honestly, it kind of seems that sometimes it would just be easier to stay in the dark, doesn't it? Where we can live our own lives in secret and have nothing asked of us. Where we can be the masters and authors of our own narratives, whatever they may turn out to be. Where we can even read our scripture, say our prayers, but never really feel compelled to deal with anything or anyone as part of God's greater creation. For you see, in the dark, we can pretend to be whoever we want. We can play the conservative ethicist in the morning here in church and go home to be the humanistic villain later at night. For who we never find out. In the dark, we can bury our skeletons. And who would know? In the dark, we can raise and dance with those skeletons. And again, who would know? From the dark, we can go on whatever websites we want. In the dark, we can talk to whoever we want. In the dark, we can cheat with whoever we want. Who would know? In the dark, we can even spend $31,000 on an office dining room set with public resources, no less. Because again, in the dark, who would be any wiser? Think about it. In the dark, you can even run for the President of the United States of America. Make a show out of your opponent's spouse's sins, his extramarital lovers and accusers, all the while knowing full well that you were skipping out on your pregnant third wife for penthouse suites or threesomes with porn stars. And in the dark, pay them much money for who would ever find out. In the dark. But you see the light. The light exposes all of that stuff. All the stuff that we would rather remain hidden and out of public sight. The light exposes our sin to ourselves and to others, as well as all of our doubts, our fears, our insecurities, our failures. Light puts us in the hot seat, where we have to be honest, authentic, committed, and vulnerable. And to many of us, just downright terrifying. No, then this light, though warm and often brilliant, it doesn't make us always comfortable, now, does it? I mean, I remember as a kid, I hated being in too much light, especially for somebody, because it would show the world my acne and my chicken pox scars. Glory, my chicken pox scars. I also recall a story that was told to me by a member in this church whose husband had just recently had cataract surgery. And what did you know? With all that beautiful new light now reaching his retina again, he was made to notice just how old he had become in the mirror. Worse, however, was just how old his wife had become. Did she always have that many brown sunspots on her face? This is what he said to her. Why did her forehead become so riddled with wrinkles? It looked so beautifully blurry and smooth before. Gosh, this light. Yes, all too often light makes visible our scars, our imperfections, our wounds. But it's also kind of the point of the light. Our text from 1 John equates people of the light with those who also acknowledge their imperfections, their sin, their humility. While those, on the other hand, who walk in the darkness are also those who deny or try to hide and bury their shortcomings and thus make a liar out of themselves and of God. Jesus not only showed Thomas his wounds, but got up on a cross and showed the world his stripes. He prayed out loud in the garden for his fate to pass before him. He cried out loud from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in his death, Jesus Christ became the atoning sacrifice for our lives. And so, wouldn't you think that as his followers, as believers, as friends, even, that we likewise should be willing out loud to exhibit our humility, to show our scars, our sacrifices to this world? You would think that, right? At the last theology of time, I asked the group what they thought to be the central issues facing the church today and challenging her tomorrow. Jeff Pedraza rather abruptly chimed in and said the central issue is perception. And that to the outside world, most of the church probably looks terribly, terribly hypocritical. For although we have a gospel that preaches love thy neighbor and making provisions for the poor, in the limelight, there seems to be a plethora of animated Christians arguing for the exact opposite of loving thy neighbor and making provisions for the poor. Additionally, there seems to be a surplus of piety and moral superiority running around in places like here. Also not helpful is that we have evangelical church leaders like Tony Perkins just yesterday using his office to go on national TV to defend the rights of Scott Pruitt. And his misuse of office funds, saying, we don't see anything there. Really? Finally, I personally have heard this accusation from all of my non-church friends. They say the central issue facing you, people, is that it appears to many of us on the outside that all of us here have a very loud majority in these churches who are all too eager to exclaim, Amen! At the end of a prayer or a powerful anthem. And yet, when called to gather and organize into action, excuses overwhelm our attendance and only action shows up. Let me say in defense of this church, of the church, and perhaps even some of us here, that I get it. I live in the real world. I get it. I take off this robe. This life, this calling, it's not easy. much that I can do, there's only so much that you can do. I mean, who can really do everything that's being asked of us? Our text in Acts suggests that we should collect all of our possessions and then disperse them out equally to everyone else. I mean, like, really? We're supposed to be married. Additionally, Jesus says these crazy things, like, let the dead bury the dead, and give up your professions and your families and follow me. That's just hyperbole, right? Come on. What do you do with that? It'd be too much. Honestly, haven't we for too long risked doing too little? Truly, if we are to authentically celebrate the light that came into this world just last Sunday on Easter, shouldn't we also act as children of that light? Descendants, ancestors, brothers and sisters of that light, 1 John calls us to walk in the light, not to sit in the light, not to dwell in the light, but to walk in the light. Likewise, John's gospel emphasizes this point by never once employing the Greek verb pistis. The Greek noun pistis, which means faith, he never once uses it as a noun. John only ever uses that word as a verb. To John, faith means to be faithing, to be acting. So to have the light then is to be lighting, to be the lighting. We are to be the lighting in this world. The lighting sparks in the night, in this dark, in this long dark night that our nation and our world finds itself in. We're supposed to be the light. My friends, the good news is that to be of this light, to be the lighting, you have to have it all figured out. You don't need to dispel all of your doubts. You don't need to deny all of your fears. You want to silence all of your questions. Nor do you need to pretend that your record is without blemish. For my friend Clayton pointed out to us in Bible study on Wednesday, while it's true that we are all sinners, we all have also already been forgiven by Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice. So he said, stop spending your time trying to idly write yourself up here or idly try to write yourself in here, and just get out with your hands and with your feet and with your voice, join others, and do. Radiate the light. Get involved. Support the weak. Get involved. Love and embrace. Get involved. Uphold the truth. Defend what is right. Uphold the truth. Defend what is right. Uphold the truth. Defend what is right and get involved. For here is truly the best news of all. All it takes is the teensiest shaft of light to overcome complete darkness. Just a little bit. I was talking to Esther Cole, who works at this church. We have a marriage that's wonderful. Esther Cole on Friday, we're having a conversation about this sermon. And she asked me, Brian, have you ever been in a closet or in a dark room just before the sun comes up? All it takes is just the faintest bit coming through your windows, and suddenly you can see. You can see yourself. You can see your situation. All it takes is just the littlest bit. So do more, do the same, do even just a little, whatever, my friends, for the sake of a light that has surely come into this world and is prime and ready, blessed, and commissioned to burst out from within us. Thanks be to God, and praise be to Christ.